Tania Tapsell is the mayor of Rotorua, and today we're talking about the situation in the Sulphur City as the council there grapples with staff wellbeing concerns and visitor accommodation levies, etc. But also the long-planned business park at, out near the airport has taken a significant step forward, so we might even start there. Thanks for your time, Tania. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe.
Kia ora. Ngā mihi nui ka koe, te tuhine. Thank you again for joining us. Let's start with the project out by the airport. What opportunities could it create for local jobs and economic development? How do you balance growth and concerns around environmental impacts? Many of our listeners are perhaps unfamiliar with what's going on out towards Rotorua Airport. What's up there, Tuhine?
Yeah, look, this is very exciting for us because when we look at Rotorua and all of the land and where we can develop and grow, the land around the Rotorua Airport is definitely one of those that we've identified, and we want to put better commercial and industrial offerings. What I will say, though, is it has a very interesting history, so we're really needing to work in partnership, because what most people don't realise, but I make sure I tell all of our council staff and as many people as possible, is that Rotorua Airport, that land was actually forcibly taken many years ago under the Public Works Act. And so we have Ngāti Uanuku Kōpako whānau and some previous landowners who were displaced from that. And of course, that caused intergenerational hardship and hurt. And so when we look at these opportunities for what can we use this land for future, it's really important that we have them alongside us to honour those cultural connections and hopefully grow our economy together. So we're hoping that there can be great opportunities, but what we are looking at is converting that land into a business park. So very exciting, but it is right next to our beautiful Lake Rotorua Nui a Kahumata Moemoe, Lake Rotorua. So we will be making sure definitely that there are no negative environmental impacts. And in fact, there's some pretty cool opportunities around clean energy that we're exploring too. So, yeah, the future's looking good for the Rotorua Airport.
Tēnā koe. What stage is this at then, Tania?
Well, we've done our exploratory phase. We've scoped it out. We know roughly how much it will cost. And we just need to start looking at getting it developed. But again, all things work in partnership. I've talked about the necessary iwi partnership, protecting the environment. But also we need New Zealand Transport Agency to come to the party and make some investment in that state highway because, you know, it's like the chicken and egg situation. We don't want to get too congested if they don't invest in the roading first. So we've actually been having quite heated discussions with them to please hurry up and invest in that. So we hope that we get some support soon because it will be in partnership with many different stakeholders.
Thank you, Tania. Can we talk about bed tax, please? You've said the conversation around a visitor accommodation levy, or bed tax as it's known, is not over. Why do you believe Rotorua needs this funding tool, and what would be the consequences if councils are left without an alternative way to fund tourism infrastructure, Tania?
Yeah, look, put it this way. Of all of the taxes and rates that you pay, 90% of that actually goes to central government. So local government, who aren't quite 10% of that, we were saying, look, let's be fairer, because we know that Rotorua, Queenstown, Auckland are tourism destinations. But it means, especially for places like Rotorua, with a population of 78,000, hosting up to 2 million visitors a year, it's a bit of an unfair burden on our locals to pay for infrastructure, marketing, events, to attract those many international visitors. So that's really the purpose, the why behind why a bed tax matters. Now, either a bed tax or accommodation levy, it's so minimal. It's like 2%. So even if you're staying in a fancy hotel, like $300 a night, that's like $6, probably split between two people. So very minimal. So I've got to admit, it was pretty heartbreaking that we've put so much work and effort over many years. We were almost there, and then the government has decided to go with the no new taxes, which unfortunately did impact what was a user pays levy. So that's what I mean by the conversation's not over. We think they've really missed the ball on this one. We understand they're trying to manage affordability, but truth is, for those who can travel, and this is backed by international research, a very minimal charge doesn't prevent them, it's not a barrier, and actually all of that money will be reinvested, and we know back into the places where it was collected. So that's why we think it's fair, that's why we think it makes sense, and that's why we hope the conversation is not over.
Tēnā koe, thanks, Tania. Let's talk about the council amalgamations. I know that a recent council report highlighted some staff burnout, mental health pressures, increasing aggression from members of the public. Perhaps it's not associated with forced council amalgamations. That might be another issue, but perhaps an update from both might be appropriate. Starting with the council report highlighting staff burnout and mental health pressures. What's behind this, Tania?
Yeah, look, we really care about our people. We also really care about our staff. Every single one of them has chosen to work at council because they care about our community and they want to make it better. And so the findings of this report have actually come about because we've asked, because we've checked, you know, how are you going? I certainly know as mayor and elected members, we've been on the brunt of a lot more aggression from the public lately. And so we wanted to make sure that our staff wellbeing is also being looked after. And so I will say, though, I think this is not a Rotorua problem. I think if we actually ask the question across the country, we will be finding that. And, you know, whether it's our staff that are on the front line physically or answering the phones, it is a really hard time in our country. People are hurt, people are angry, people are feeling uncertain. But what is never okay is taking that hurt and anger out on somebody else who is trying to do their job. And so we have identified that, whether it's the psychosocial risk from that, workload management, people are just looking for a more holistic and well-being approach to work, and we are here for that. We are going to provide that. We've put a better plan and support in place to make sure that as we try to look after everyone else, we're also looking after our staff as we do that. And just regarding the council mergers, oh my gosh, when we did this report and we put in place a well-being plan and we thought to ourselves, definitely me, we sort of leaned over to each other and thought, geez, this would be really nice for us who feel burnt out, because those council mergers were something wicked, eh? We had 3 months to try to figure out who and where we should merge with and what that means for our community. So Rotorua has put in an application alongside Bay of Plenty. So we'll go from 7 councils down to potentially 3 unitaries. For Rotorua, though, we are in by ourselves because Tauranga and Western Bay are set to merge, and Whakatane, Kawero and Opotiki in the east are looking at merging to a unitary. So that's how we go from the 7 to the 3, because, of course, regional councils, the councillors will be gone by 2028. So there's a lot happening in councils, but back down to the point, we're making sure we're looking after ourselves so we can keep looking after everyone else.
There's been a nervousness that when we have these forced timeframes, we can get it wrong. And bearing in mind that we want to set the stage for generations that will follow, what would you say of this compressed timeframe, the pressure it's put councils on, and ultimately, do you believe that within that timeframe we're coming up with the right choices and decisions, Tania?
We honestly don't know if we've got this right. We have simply done our best in the short time frames we've had in the limited resource. Because remember, we weren't funded to do this. We weren't provided any additional resource. We just had our own staff and ourselves working really hard, as well as business as usual, to try to do these significant mergers. And as we were going through this, again, on reflection, I was thinking, man, you know, we had the major health reforms where DHBs went and then it became Health New Zealand. We had the major tertiary reforms, which are now being reversed already because that didn't work. So there's been significant change. And although it's been really hard for us, I couldn't help but think, man, who's next? You know, it just goes through various different industries and we do this bizarre cycle and loop where we think going national and across the country will be better, only to find it's not, and we reverse it back to local. So that is why myself and many others that are in local government have seen those changes, and our communities do prefer a buy local for local approach. So we are heavily centralised. We don't realise that in New Zealand. We're one of the most centralised countries. What that means is our government makes so many of our decisions. You go to other places and councils look after social issues as well. They determine their own destiny, even over in Australia where they have local councils, but then they also have state councils. So, you know, I think in a time of reform and change, we've got it wrong. This government's got it wrong in not delegating and empowering communities more so that the change actually goes the other way.
Well, as you've touched on too, it's felt like a demand from on high, and it's forced councils to scramble. As you say, you weren't funded to look at the best options available. And so hats off to your staff. No wonder some of them are feeling a bit burnt out or under pressure. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. And even more frustrating, I guess, Tania, is that it's unlikely to see its zenith anyway before the election. Where are we at? What are you expecting now that there's not too long till the House rises? Such an important issue, demanding that councils mobilise within 3 months, but it looks as though it's going to be a long way off before anything concrete comes of it. How does that sit with you?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good question, because it was really a sprint start to what's going to be a marathon, right? So in September, we expect to get the decision from Cabinet. So it's not even government. It's just the limited people that sit in Cabinet. And then the House rises on the 24th of September. So they will decide whether our proposal is approved or not for Rotorua, because we're going in by ourselves. We're really hoping it is, because the alternative means we will be merged into a wider region. There are a lot of smaller rural and provincial councils and communities that are really worried about that. So many of us are just waiting to hear whether we can stay our own or get merged. And then actually there is a number of months until March next year when a final proposal will be put forward. So whether or not we get the tick of approval from Cabinet in September, there is time then for community consultation and what is called detailed design, where we can actually have time to work out, will this even be better for our communities? Will the rates be more affordable? And that's what we want to know. But the challenge is, and this was the major risk, this was the biggest gamble we've ever made in a decision at council, because there was no off-ramp. We had 3 months to choose whether to go into that Head Start proposal, but as much as we asked, and then when we get time to look at it, if it's not better, can we please jump out? Actually, the answer was no. You're either in it or you're not. And if we weren't, then the decision was entirely up to the government post 2028. So it was very challenging for us, but again, would rather, in the words of the longest serving councillor in the country, Trevor Maxwell, we should determine our own destiny. And I think that's what managed to get us just over the line into choosing to go into Head Start and making the most of it.
Tēnā koe. And just finally, you might have heard the back end of a conversation with Ngāi Tahu Rūnanga Chair Justin Tipa. They've proposed 5 new boundaries, really aligning with river catchments as part of this discussion, and wondered what you might think about such a proposal in the South Island, utilising these geographical features as the basis for council work and amalgamation. He says it won't compromise smaller communities, but it does come a little out of left field, although there has been a suggestion in the North Island of a similar approach. Is it something Rotorua has considered or would be willing to, Tania?
He whakaro tino rangatira tera, nā te mea, mene I ora te taiao, ka tai ngā tangata ki te ora. I think that's an absolutely fantastic idea, because if the environment flourishes, then the people can flourish. And there's been a lot of focus on, you know, what that means from representation, because of course if you merge, then you just get the one mayor and one council over that boundary. But actually I think that they are in demonstrating their wisdom and their leadership and saying, but actually what about the environment? Because catchments are important. And even in Rotorua, what we were hoping to achieve through this change was not only merging on the catchments, but you'll notice the catchments actually often reflect iwi hapu boundaries. And so although it's been really challenging, we have tried to be optimistic with this and looked at it as a once-in-a-generation opportunity to change our district boundaries to meet iwi hapu boundaries. So for us, that's our Te Aroa Waka Mai Maketu Ki Tongariro. And so we sort of, Western Bay of Plenty, where they look after Makatū and the bottom of Kaituna River, they weren't too keen on us to have it. But if we had our way, the Rotorua River drains eventually through Oho Channel, Aukerea, down the Kaituna River to Makatū. And that's where we thought that makes sense, that we follow the water, We follow our rivers and also we follow our iwi boundaries, which for us would have included Taupō, who we have put down as if we did need to merge with anyone. Taupō makes the most sense. You know, we've got our lakes, we've got our geothermal, but they wanted to go by themselves. So I think they've got fantastic idea in Ngaitahu. It has been complex everywhere in the country where you do have not only council, but also those iwi hapu boundaries and whether or not both agree. So finally, just the game changer for us in Rotorua was that we brought Te Aroha iwi chairs alongside us right from the start. As our councillors were learning about this, we had Te Aroha iwi chairs in the room sharing that info and knowledge. They asked, look, can we co-design this with you because it's so intergenerationally significant? We said, of course, thank you very much for the offer. And I think that's why we ended up in as best a position as we could be in Rotorua, because right from the start, we co-designed, we worked together, and we thought about it from a holistic approach.
Tēnā koe, as always, appreciate your time, thoughts and perspectives pertaining to the Sulphur City. It's always a pleasure to have recorded all with you, Tania. Thanks again. Ngā mihi nui kā koe, e te tuhine, mauri ora. You're 603 Urban Māori Radio, wā te ono rau mātori te ierere, he tango o te iwi Māori.